Chapter 8 again tonight, kind of looking at last Sunday evening's message a little bit further and bringing it maybe to completion. Do continue to pray for those who are sick and afflicted, recovering from surgeries and procedures, and ask God to bless each one according to their needs. Remember those who are away from us traveling. God might get them safely back to us. Remember all the young folks who will begin trekking back towards school this coming week and in the weeks ahead. God might bless each one, give them a good start, bless them in their new year of studies, and keep them safe and protected as they go back. I'm going to take a couple moments at the conclusion of my message to address a couple things with the church, so we'll try to be as expedient as possible as to allow ample time to do that. Our real text for the thought we got into last week is verse number 32 of Romans 8. He, speaking about God, that spared not his own son, speaking about Christ, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Spared not, but delivered up. Spared not, but delivered up. That's what this verse tells us about God and his Son, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He spared him not, but he delivered him up for us. We looked at this portion of Scripture last week, spent a little bit of time looking at the security that is found in these verses. I want to touch those things again briefly. Verse 30 said, whom he did predestinate, he also called. Those he called, them he justified. Those he justified, them he glorified. You find a wonderful security there for a Christian, for a child of God. We're already glorified. We're already seated in the heavenly places in Christ. Heaven is guaranteed. There's no maybes about it. No possibility of falling short. He has glorified us. Verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Simply put, if the omnipotent one is for us, what lesser power could be against us? None. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who can bring a charge of sin? Who can bring a charge of any kind against a child of God when God has justified us? Who can charge us when God has declared us innocent? Who can charge us when God has declared us just as though we have never sinned in Christ? These things are wonderful, thrilling thoughts about the security we have in Christ. Who is he that condemneth us? Who can condemn us? It is Christ that died. In Christ we're not condemned. We can't be condemned. Nobody can condemn us because Christ died for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then a laundry list of things are mentioned, and the point being, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. No one can separate us from the love of Christ. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He goes on to expand and expound in verse 38. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. How blessed our security is. Nobody can be against us when God, the Omnipotent One, is for us. We just looked at this 32nd verse last week. He that spared not his own son. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What was that gift? That gift was Jesus. The salvation that we have in and through Jesus Christ. He spared not his own son. God spared not Jesus, but sent Jesus Christ, according to John 3:16, to die upon the cross for us. He spared not his own son. He delivered him up for us all. Two statements made, and then question is raised. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him? God spared not his son, delivered him up, gave him. So how shall he not with him? How will God not with Christ, who he has already given, freely give us all things? Some wonderful thoughts there. If you'll dig in and dig them out and receive the instruction from the Word of God. The point being here in verse number 32, he spared not his own son, he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not in Christ, with Christ, or in Christ having given the best that he had, how shall he not freely give us all things? Still speaks of security. If he gave Jesus the best that he had for us, what lesser blessing, what lesser thing, what lesser item would he deny us? I mean, when he's given his best, everything else is a gimme. Everything else is taken for granted that he will give us. He says here, how shall he not with him, how shall God not with Christ also freely give us all things? If he gave Jesus Christ, what thing will he withhold? What thing would he deny? What necessary thing would he refuse? The answer, of course, is nothing. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Let's read verse 2 also. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. How could he, who has given his best, not freely give us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And I've been looking and considering life as it's referenced in verse number 3, and I've come to the conclusion at this point of my understanding that he's not just talking about physical life, the necessities of life, but I think the focus is on spiritual life. How shall he who has not denied us, given us his son to die for us, how can he who has given his best to not deny us of anything that's necessary for spiritual life? That's a part of spiritual life. He's not going to do it. In addition to those things that pertain unto life, there's godliness. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Then back in Psalms chapter 84, Psalm chapter 84, verse 10 and 11. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Then notice, next of all, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So he spared not his son. He delivered him up for us all. If he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how could he deny us anything that pertains to life and godliness? Why would he? How can he deny us any good thing? So you go from life and godliness, looking at the spiritual perspective. Then in Psalms here, he just generally speaks about any good thing. Any good thing. How can he who spared not but delivered him up for us, who's given his best, deny his people any good thing? He's not going to deny us any good thing. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse number 7 talks about the overcomer in the end inheriting all things. inheriting. We have an inheritance in heaven. We have an inheritance in Christ. We have an inheritance laid up for us in glory. How shall he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he then deny us any part of that inheritance? He won't. He can't. Doesn't make any sense to go down that path. He spared not, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he who has given his best and his only begotten son for us, how shall he deny us anything else? How could he deny us those things that pertain unto life, spiritual life, and godliness? How could he withhold any good thing from us? Defining good thing by his standards. And how could he deny us any part of our inheritance? He couldn't. Point being, God gave his best. As I already quoted 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. John 3:16 says, for God so, emphasis on that word, so loved. Why emphasis on the word so? Because of Christ. The gift was Christ. He so loved, proven by his giving of Christ. Romans 6, verse 23 says, the gift of God is not long life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's the unspeakable gift. He's the one that God gave to prove that he so loved the world. And in Christ, God gives the gift of eternal life. How shall he not freely give us all things that pertain unto life and godliness? How shall he not freely give us all good things? How shall he not freely give us all of our inheritance? We think about heaven. It's really not going to be realized until we get to this portion of Scripture in Revelation 21. Because here we are on earth looking for the coming of Christ. He's going to come again for us, and we're not going to go to heaven and live forever. We're going to be caught up together with him for a short period during the tribulation period. And then we're going to return with him to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Then God has some other office work for Jesus Christ to do. There will come a time when Jesus Christ offers up the kingdom to the Father, to the glory of the Father. And we find in Scripture, sometime after the millennial reign of Christ, the judgments that we see, like in chapter 20, the great white throne judgment, we find that there's a new heaven and a new earth. We find that there is a point out there that Revelation 21 is speaking of, where we really enter what we would define as eternal heaven. New heaven and a new earth, where the new Jerusalem is also seated. How would God not deliver us to those? How would he not keep all of his promises and give us the inheritance that is waiting for us? Real quick, 4-point outline, and then we'll quit. Relationship to our text, verse He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall God not with him, with Christ, also freely give us all things? This simple little verse teaches us that the death of Christ was divine. God is the one who delivered up Jesus Christ. It wasn't of human origin or human cause. The death of Christ was divine. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 is one place that supports that thought. The death of Christ was substitutional. Substitutional. God delivered him up for us. That's substitutionary sacrifice in Christ. The death of Christ was personal. God gave his son for us. That's very personal. That's intimately personal. He didn't give himself in hopes that somebody might be saved. But in particular, he gave his son for us. For us. I always end up saying at one point when I get into these thoughts, when Christ was on the cross, I was on his mind. He was dying for me. He was dying for me. And you can say the same thing if he died for you and you're saved. So his death was divine. His death was substitutional. His death was personal. And his death was the supreme demonstration of love. As we've already expanded by many references and many passages that we've looked at. Greater love has no man than that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said in John chapter 15. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. I just want you to see it in print. A verse I've quoted at least two, maybe three times tonight. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God. God spared not, but delivered up. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We'll stop there. Let's have a verse of song.